So, I came up at the second song. I don't know if you noticed that. I was actually supposed to come up now, but I like the way I was like, oh, well, let me just set the Bible here. That's really what I came up to do, and then I stepped down there. Just roll with it. As you obviously can tell, Jonathan is not here. He's serving in another capacity this weekend. So he asked me to bring a word. Many of you know that we recently went to Africa, so I had a good 20 hours to really meditate and on plane trips to think about what the Lord would have me share with you. I want to thank you for making it here on time, and I want to ask you to extend grace to those who think they're getting here on time and might be here in about an hour. I want to share with you a reading from 1 Corinthians. And before we get into it, just kind of give you some context about what's going on here. We find that the Apostle Paul is addressing the church, which was in the city of Corinth, a robust area. Historians have often described it as the Vanity Fair of today, and it was the sin center of the Roman Empire. It's believed that Paul wrote this letter from Ephesus around AD 55 through 57, and he wrote it in response to troubles that were arising in the church. There were a variety of concerns that Paul was dealing with. Some of those things had to deal with political issues, some religious, some domestic problems that were going on, heathenism, morality, nothing like today, huh? When we think about it, the result of these uprisings, Paul had to respond, and he did so in a letter, to remind the church of the centrality and lordship of Jesus Christ. We see that these issues still exist today, and this is why I want to remind you that God has chosen you to be a witness for his great love for the world. And I want to encourage you to glory only in the Lord as you serve our Heavenly Father. So let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. And as we go through my message, we're going to be coming back and reading again and again, because for me, I have to do that for it to really sink in. Verse 26 starts, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Father, I pray that as we consider the scripture, as we meditate on your word, Lord Jesus, open our hearts to understand what you are trying to teach us, that we may be stronger ambassadors for the kingdom work that you have called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. You know, one of the many blessings in serving the Lord is the privilege of seeing people come to a deeper understanding of our Almighty God. And on occasion, we get to witness firsthand someone surrendering and confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And many of you have even had the blessing of walking alongside someone as they experience the pain and suffering of sanctification. And others of you, you've been able to celebrate with your brothers and sisters the victories that have come from obediently following Christ. And it is in these precious moments that we get a taste of God's sweetness as he moves along the plans of his redemptive work in man. As many of you know, John and I recently had this opportunity to visit Africa and see the work of the Kuleya organization, Manna Bible Church, and Hilltop School. There are so many stories that we plan on sharing with you in the future, but for the purpose of my message today, I'd like to talk to you about the young man who was our hired driver while in Africa. His name is Paul Maliti. And since his name is Paul, I'm going to refer to him as Maliti, since we've been talking about the Apostle Paul, and my name is Paul, and Paul Maliti, so I'm trying to keep it simple. As I mentioned, Maliti was our hired driver. I would describe him as a kind and unassuming Tanzanian who exemplified the love of God. Over the course of our time, several of our team members were able to visit with him and learn more about his life. We learned of a man named Richard that Maliti met who was part of the 2011 Kulea team. And this man, Richard, visited with Paul Maliti and talked to him about his religious upbringing. It was in this exchange that Maliti was challenged to read John 3:16, and he asked himself if he really knew Jesus. And over the next few days, Maliti read the scripture, and he came to the saving knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was. And in the belief of his heart, he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. As he shared his testimony of his transformation with me, I asked him if he had been baptized. He said he had not, and he was struggling with his traditional faith and religious upbringing. You know, he was raised Catholic, and he had been baptized as a baby. So as I listened to him, I couldn't help but smile inside, because just the day before, I was riding with Pastor Domus, and he was sharing with me his testimony of when he came to know the Lord. He was 12 years old, and he was walking by a revival, and he went in, and he gave his life to the Lord. Immediately following, he had a burning desire to want to get baptized. But the pastor of his church didn't want to baptize him because he thought he was too young. So over the course of the next few years, as he continued to search the scriptures and grow in the Lord, his family moved to another town. And in that town, he began to serve in the children's ministry. And it was there that that pastor saw the Holy Spirit moving in his life, and he baptized him. I just couldn't help that that testimony wasn't an accident, because here I am the next day visiting with Paul Maliti, and he's sharing with me his issues with baptism. And so the freshness of the testimony of Pastor Dalmas gave me the boldness to encourage Maliti to read Acts 8. It's the story of the Ethiopian who Philip was charged to share the gospel with. And so I handed my Bible over to Maliti, and while we were there just visiting with the church, I saw Maliti reading the story. He handed the Bible back to me, and you could see a smile on his face. Later that day, he brought us back to our hotel, and everybody was dispersing, getting ready to go to their rooms, and I just saw Paul Maliti just walking around, and I was wondering why he wasn't leaving. And so I asked him, I said, Maliti, looks like there's something on your mind. Is there something that you want to share with me? And he said, yes. And so we sat down there and he said, do I have to leave my church if I get baptized? And I looked at him and I said, Maliti, no. If the Lord calls you out of your church, yes. But if you want to get baptized and the Lord's moving you to get baptized, you should do it. So he just smiled and he said, okay, I'm going to pray about it tonight and I'll let you know tomorrow. Well, that next morning, he made a decision to get baptized. Praise God. It's a blessing for us as the team to be able to go out in nations of the world and see God's hand moving. And Maliti was no exception to that. I know that many of you have had opportunities to witness God's hand at work, much like we've just seen in Maliti's life. In those moments of personal participation in God's working, as laborers in the field, we often sense a mixture of both pride and joy. In the very treasury of death's defeat, emotions can run fast and emotions run deep. And while the joy of the Lord can fill our hearts when seeing a dearly beloved become more and more sanctified, is there not a war that wages within our own heart that wants to glory in ourselves? I confess it's a mirror I care not to reflect upon. Yet God, knowing the heart of man, he found it important to impart this reminder to us through the Apostle Paul, that all glory, all honor, and all praise is to be in the Lord. And Paul is not shy in reminding us of our position. In fact, let's reread 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Dear brothers and sisters, do you see what Paul is telling us? I'm standing here before you today as a testimony of that truth, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God has chosen you, who, and me as well, who were not wise, not mighty, not noble, to destroy the base things of this world. What great love God has for us, in that not only would he bring us out of darkness, but then he would use us as vessels for pursuing his people. When I look at verse 28 again, it says, the base things of the world and these things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So I ask you, what are the base things of the world? It's everything the world would look down upon. It's our failures. It's our weaknesses. It's our insecurities. Everything that the world would regard as less than. But God, in his glorious mercy and grace, says, no, I love you, and I'm giving you my son, the one in whom I am well pleased with. I will exchange for you to have a relationship with me, to know me and the great love that I have for you. As we consider the scriptures looking back at Meliti's recent baptism, we ask ourselves, who gets the glory? Is it Richard, who first challenged Paul in 2012? Or perhaps the Kulea team, who has been sharing the love of Jesus over the many years of hiring him as their driver? Or could it be any one of our team members like John or myself who got to visit with Meliti? Or how about you, church, who by your love for Jesus, you support the mandate of going to the nations of the world to share the good news? The answer is none of us, for we are all to glory only in the Lord. The Apostle Paul had to address this same issue with the church in Corinth. Apparently, there were disputes arising within the church about leadership, and carnality was waging a war against the spiritual. As conversions were taking place and the church was growing, baptisms were happening by the numbers. And as Satan would have it, it didn't take long for pride to creep in the church. The people of the church in Corinth were beginning to identify themselves as being of Paul, or of being of Apollos, or of being of Cephas, or of being of Christ. Paul calls them out in lacking maturity, and he tells them that they were, where there's envy and strife and divisions, then you're behaving as mere men. He even goes as far as to say that we're behaving like babies. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Paul reminds the church, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. As followers of Christ, church, we plant and we water, but God gives the increase. Again, long before any of our team came to know Paul Meliti, God had been sovereignly working his master plan for the salvation of this precious soul. We were simply blessed to be ministers and part of his next step in his relationship with Jesus. And over the years, God used the weak, those who were not mighty, and those who were not noble to water and plant. And God has given the increase to Paul Meliti. Can we say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. As we celebrate in the testimony of Paul Meliti, let us reread verse 28 and continue through verses 31. This is from chapter 1 again. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. This is good news, church, because Paul reminds us that God has chosen us who were once broken, unwise, foolish, and weak to testify of the saving power of Jesus Christ. As followers of Christ, we now walk in the wisdom of God and not of this world. We stand in righteousness and redemption because of the sacrifice of Jesus' life for us, so that all glory is in the Lord and not in ourselves. And this is the aspect of the church that I want to draw attention to. There is a tendency that we have to want to boast in ourselves, and unknowingly it often hinders us from boldly doing the work that God has called us to do. There is a battle that wages inside of us, and also sometimes Satan's craftiness, where a disguise of humility can actually render us ineffective because of our bent to want to glory in ourselves. How is this, you ask? Consider your past for which Christ has died for. Have you allowed those things which are shameful? Have you allowed those moments of weakness in your life? Have you allowed the foolishness of your past to prevent you from sharing the love of Jesus with others? If your answer is yes, then you, my dear brother and sister, are glorying in yourself. And Paul does a good job of reminding us of our place in God's redemptive work. For we were all once lost, ashamed, and wise in our ways. Yet God, in his great love for us, he called us out of darkness and into his everlasting life. This is the remarkable testimony of our newness in Christ. Just as Jesus has always been one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we step into the fellowship of this powerful unity. Therefore, we are no longer ourselves, but one with him, and our speech and our actions that are praiseworthy are to be gloried only in the Lord. Let's read how Paul communicates this to the church. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, in your bulletin, this is a correction that needs to be made, where it says 2 Corinthians 1. I got those backwards, so please change it. It's 2 Corinthians, verse 1 through 5. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." As followers of Christ, we know, Paul teaches us that we should allow our testimony and newness of life to demonstrate the Holy Spirit and the power of God at work in us. So you may be asking, why would we do this? Jesus has an answer for us. If we look in Matthew 5:16, turn to your Bibles to 5:16. Many of you may already have this memorized. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Why? Because God is good. As servants and stewards of the mysteries of God, remember all that you have been given and all that you know it has been taught. We see this even in the Old Testament when the prophet Jeremiah proclaims in chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. Turn your Bibles there, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." So, church, what should we be thankful for? That we can glory in understanding and knowing God. Another verse that speaks to this matter is Psalm chapter 62, verse 7. It says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Can we read that together, church? In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Let's read it again, church, in case you haven't gotten it. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Church, our salvation, our glory, our rock of strength and refuge is in God. Church, do not glory in yourselves. This is a scheme of idolatry and one where our witness to the world can be quickly hindered because of our daily struggles of falling short of the glory of God. For the scripture says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But instead, church, all the more boast in your weaknesses so that God's power is made strong. Remember that from which he has saved you from, but do not allow this to keep you from loving others and glorying in the Lord. Be quick to repent and move forward in the work God has prepared for you. Let's read from Isaiah 43:7. It says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." Church, God has chosen you for his glory. We want you to walk in the victory of everlasting life, in Jesus' victory over the grave. And I want you to remember to glory in the Lord and go boldly into this world to proclaim his everlasting power and love. Church, I want you to be a part of his redeeming work and to celebrate in the witnessing of those responding to the calling of his chosen ones and the sanctifying of his beloved. I want to leave you with this video. Testimonies are very powerful. And I want to say thank you to my son, Daniel, who helped me put this video together. He put those subtitles. Brian, will you play it, please?
Nashukuru sana Mungu kwa siku ya leo. Sikutegemea kama kuna siku ningesimama mahali hapa ili niweze kubatizwa.
I thank God for this day. I'm very happy for today to stand here to be baptized.
Safari yangu hii imeanza muda mrefu. Imeanza toka mwaka 2011-12.
This is a long journey from 2011 to 2012.
Wakati ambapo timu ya kutoka USA walipokuja Tanzania kujitolea kwa ajili ya shughuli mbalimbali za kulea.
When the team from US came to Tanzania to help in kulea.
Mmoja katika wale waliokuja alinihamasisha niweze kumpokea Yesu.
One of them witnessed to me so that I can believe in Jesus.
Anaitwa Richard.
He's called Richard.
Ilikuwa siku moja wakati tulikuwa tunatoka hoteli tunatoka kazini tunaenda hotelini.
So it was one day when we were coming from job to the hotel.
Hasa njiani tulikuwa tukibishana mambo mbalimbali juu ya Bwana Yesu Kristo.
On the way they were arguing subjects on the subject of Jesus.
Hasa Richard akaniuliza.
So Richard asked him,
utafanyaje ili uweze kwenda mbinguni?
What can you do to go to heaven?
Nikajitahidi kujibu.
So I tried to answer that question.
Lakini sikuweza kujibu vizuri.
But I could not answer it well.
Lakini alinisaidia kujibu.
But he helped me to answer the question.
Akanipa maandiko kutoka Yohana sura 3 mstari wa 16.
He gave me scripture from John 3:16.
Baada ya yale maandiko,
after the verse,
niliamasika.
I was encouraged.
Nikakubali kumpokea Yesu.
And then that time I accepted Jesus as my personal savior. So I accepted Jesus for the first time. When they came to that hotel by the name Oasis. In Morogoro, Tanzania. Afterwards, I was advised in many subjects of Jesus. So that he can be baptized. It was not easy to him. So today he's very much surprised. He didn't think of being baptized. He has faith. God has helped him and blessed him. From this team, Pastor Paul, he has talked with him and encouraged him a lot. Even Mama Tommy, who has been baptized, also she has advised him. So at the end of the day, he said, "Here I am ready." Oh, thank you.
Amemwamini Kristo kuwa Bwana na Mwokozi wa maisha yake na mbatiza katika jina la Baba, Mwana na Roho Mtakatifu.
Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor. We're so humbled, God, that you would use a church all the way from the United States and take us to Africa with this team and the Kulea organization to be a witness and a part of the sanctifying work in Paul Maliti's life. Father, I pray that in this same spirit of power and in your truth, that we would be encouraged this week to continue doing the work that you have called us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.